Find other great podcasts like this one at podmoth.network.
Hey, Freaky Friends! It's Michelle and Melissa from the Freaky Fridays podcast. We are sisters in separate states and love to talk about all kinds of spooky, freaky, and scary shit while drinking and laughing through our fear.
Join us Fridays as we delve into everything from the world of the paranormal to scary movies to creepy stuff we find around the internet. Subscribe to Freaky Fridays wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts.
Sleep tight.
Make sure you leave the lights on.
Freaky Fridays is a proud member of the Podmoth Network. For more awesome pods, check out podmoth.network.
This is not a test. This is your emergency broadcast.
Curfew is in full effect. Everyone lock your doors and don't answer after midnight. Early on Wednesday episodes are about to be released.
Tell us about your encounters with Early on Wednesday.
Ladies, this is Natasha with Cryptids, Creeps, and Conspiracy. You guys are great. I mean, you're funny. You're very interactive with people, both on the pod and through social media. And your guys' detail in your episodes is great.
I think it's pretty awesome.
Stacey and Lavender keep you very engaged in the topic.
And you guys make me laugh throughout my day when I'm having a crappy day.
You heard it here first. Stay safe out there, ghouls.
Welcome to the Brutal, Bizarre, and Boozy podcast. I'm Declan, the son.
And I'm Jane, the mom. This is the podcast where we talk about brutal crimes, bizarre occurrences, and get you drunk with cocktails themed around one of our stories. To lighten things up, we'd like to end our time with a chaser. Please keep in mind some of our stories might be upsetting to young or sensitive ears.
We love hearing from our listeners, so feel free to contact us by email or social media. You can find our contact info in the show notes for this episode. If you'd like to support us through Patreon, you can find us there at Brutal, Bizarre, and Boozy Podcast, or use the link in our show notes. Welcome back, everybody. Thanks for joining us once again.
Hi, friends.
If you're listening right now and you prefer to watch us, go ahead and jump over to our YouTube because we're going back to our video format.
Video options.
Yes.
But don't make fun of my background because my room is in disarray and my hair looks like shit.
Don't make fun of my background either because I thought it would look a lot cooler, but all you can see is my hat collection. I have a TV behind me that is, it's got the old Microsoft screensavers.
Oh, the one that bounces around.
I've got the pipes going right now, but I have a collection of them that's cycling through, but
you can't see it though because
for us today? I know, because I'm in the fucking
you're
way,
blocking it. So I think you'd have to change the angle. That would be the only thing. You'd have to change your angle because you're sitting right in front of the TV.
You can see a corner of it, but that's about
it. Yeah, that's true. That's true.
What story do you have for us today, Mom?
I have a story out of Czechoslovakia about a woman who killed some people. Because we're going brutal.
Interesting. Okay.
Yes. Yeah. A historic story, so to speak. Yeah. What are you going to be telling us about?
I am going to be talking about Siegfried and Roy.
Oh, no.
Yes. Interesting story. But to go with it, I have the cocktail Tiger's Claw. There's a couple other tiger-related cocktails that I found, but none of them kind of sounded good, I should say. None of them really sounded
good.
I'm not sure that this sounds good. Yeah. I definitely skipped an ingredient or two, but the ingredients are 2 ounces of Reposado tequila, 1 ounce of pineapple juice, 3/4 ounce fresh lime juice, 1/2 ounce cinnamon syrup, 1/2 ounce coffee liqueur, and 2 dashes of orange bitters.
Let me
shake
guess.
Shake in a cocktail's glass and serve.
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay.
I was just going to say, let me guess that the one you skipped is the coffee liqueur.
Yes, I do not like coffee liqueur, so that is not in my cocktail right now.
Right,
but
right.
Did you put it in yours?
I did.
Because I know you have some. Okay.
Yes.
Cool.
I have multiple kinds.
We have the full cocktail here. Because I'm not going to buy some shit I'm not going to drink and I don't like. So
I know.
I don't have it.
I have the full cocktail and I predict that it's going to taste gross, but that's because it has tequila in it and I dislike tequila.
Let's give it a try.
All right.
That is really good without the coffee liqueur.
I don't taste tequila. I taste coffee.
I don't taste
just a half
either.
Ounce. It's gone. Like the tequila is gone. Where
well,
did
coffee
it go?
Is a much more overpowering flavor, I think, than tequila. Because tequila, if you mix it with lime juice, it kind of like melts away.
Mm.
But if you just drink tequila straight, I'm interested
to
see what the coffee liqueur version tastes
like. The cinnamon's really good.
It's
all right.
It's
so
good cocktail.
When you come home,
have the ingredient, but we'll try it.
When you come home, we'll try it again, and you can try it with the coffee liqueur. I don't think you'll hate it with the coffee liqueur because it's not overpowering. It's super subtle.
Just. More like a bitter, like
kind of, yeah.
Warmth,
it's not super
almost.
Bitter.
I'm trying to
no, and the cinnamon in there is really nice. I like it. It's yummy. Look at me drinking tequila.
Yeah.
Who knew it would work?
You always say this, but there's a couple of tequila cocktails we tried that you really enjoy. Like
I don't know about really enjoy, but I don't hate
the Fistful of Diamonds from that Osteria place. Doesn't that have tequila?
No, that's gin. That's
no?
gin.
Oh, gin. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Let's get into the story of Siegfried and Roy. Roy Horn was born on October 3rd, 1944, to Johanna Horn in Nazi Germany. He was the youngest of four brothers, Manfred, Alfred, and Werner. His father was a Nazi soldier who turned to alcoholism after returning home from the war.
Oh.
Shortly after coming home, Johanna and the kids left Roy's father due to his physical and emotional abuse. His stepfather became an alcoholic as well, and the family soon fell apart.
Oh.
Roy was very interested in animals from a young age, training and taking exceptional care of his family dog, Hex. Hexie, H-E-X-E,
probably
is a German
Hex.
Word, but German yeah. word for witch. But
oh, okay.
A family friend created a zoo when Roy was 10, which he spent a majority of his time at. Which allowed him to interact with exotic animals. Roy dropped out of school at 13 and started spending even more time at the zoo. His duo, his partner, Siegfried Fischbacher, was born on June 13th, 1939, to Martin and Maria Fischbacher in Germany. Martin was a painter before the war, but became a Nazi soldier during wartime and was taken by the Soviets as a prisoner of war. When he returned home, he also became a violent alcoholic. Siegfried's escape from his dysfunctional family was magic. He was gifted a magic book when he was 8 and became addicted fairly quickly, which is a good addiction to have, magic, that won't...
Better than alcoholism.
In a hospital or anything, yeah.
Right.
In 1956, Siegfried moved to Italy to escape his family and started working at a hotel where he was a dishwasher, bartender, and waiter, where he used his magic to entertain the guests he was serving. Later that year, he picked up a job on a cruise ship. as a waiter, bellboy, and magician under the stage name Delmare. And this is where he met Roy. Roy went to one of the magic shows on the ship and during the show challenged Siegfried to pull a cheetah out of a hat. Okay. They started talking after the show and Roy joined Siegfried in his magic. They had the crazy idea to incorporate a live cheetah into the show and the two smuggled a cheetah named Chico onto the cruise ship using a laundry bag.
What the? Oh, okay. Come on now.
The logistics of getting a cheetah into a laundry bag is what confuses me. Like,
yes. It's got to be a big laundry bag or a very small cheetah.
Yeah.
How? I mean,
I don't know how. I couldn't find much information other than the cheetah's name, but somehow they got Chico onto the ship.
I guess if you're working on the ship, it's probably easier to smuggle stuff on.
It's probably more lackadaisical.
Yeah.
Trying to get things,
I would think so,
in and off the ship, but.
Yeah. Yeah.
They debuted their new Aqua Chico on the cruise ship during their magic show and were fired directly after the show ended.
Well, of course, because you have a cheetah on a cruise ship. What the fuck?
A New York cruise ship owner saw their show and was captivated, so he offered them a job on his ship to do magic. They performed magic together on the New York-based cruise line until 1964, when they were discovered by the owner of the Astoria Theater in Germany, who offered them a gig. In 1966, they began working with other animals such as white tigers. This elevated their show, and they were asked to perform in Las Vegas in 1967 and debuted at the Tropicana in Las Vegas. Their careers took off after their move to Vegas, and they became household names. They performed at various hotels and casinos in Vegas until 1988, when they became U.S. citizens and they launched a world tour using big cats as their main act, but also featured other large animals such as elephants, white tigers, white lions, peacocks, and just some other random animals.
Random animals.
In 1990, they were hired by Steve Wynn, who owned many of the hotels on the Vegas Strip, and were offered $57.5 million for a 5-year contract.
Whoa!
Yeah. It was
holy
big money
moly
at the time.
What year was that again? Did you say they got that?
99.
Oh, man.
Or, sorry, 1990.
That is some.
By 1999, cashola. The duo had made over $500 million and were the highest paid entertainers in Vegas.
Holy crap.
A town that centers on entertainment. Like,
yeah. We're going there soon.
Yeah. Well, you won't be able to see Siegfried.
No. No, we will not.
They played primarily at the Mirage until 2003, where a bizarre incident took place.
Yeah.
On October 3rd, 2003, also Roy's 59th birthday, the duo performed the same show they had performed hundreds, if not thousands, of times. This day, they were performing with 7-year-old, 400-pound white tiger named Manticore, which Roy had raised since he was a cub. And there's, like, there's clips of them going on, like, talk shows, like the Late Night Show and stuff, with this tiger as a cub. And they let it walk around on the desk, and they'd carry him around on their neck and stuff. It's super cute, but... during the show, Manticore went off script and started walking towards the audience at the front of the stage. Roy approached him and tried to direct him into position. Manticore gently bit into Roy's sleeve and Roy booped him on the nose with the microphone and said, "No, no." And Manticore then released his sleeve. Roy then started to walk away to get into his position for the next trick when the tiger pounced onto Roy, clamping down on his neck, crushing his windpipe and severing his spine.
Oh.
Manticore dragged Roy off stage and wouldn't let go until a stagehand sprayed a fire extinguisher in his face and trainers were sticking their fingers in his mouth. Which, you can pay me enough to stick my fingers in a tiger's mouth. I don't care if you're fighting someone.
That just ate a person.
Happening. Yeah.
Wow.
Roy was immediately rushed to the hospital, and Manticore was wrangled back into his cage. While in the ambulance, Roy emphasized that Manticore was a great cat and wanted nothing to happen to it, claiming that Manticore reacted like that because it was trying to save him from the stroke he was suffering from. So, whether it happened before the attack or during or after, Roy had suffered a stroke on stage.
I'm going to say, you have a tiger bite your neck, it might cause a stroke.
But if you're working with this cat once a week, if not every day, like, and he hasn't attacked you in 7 years, what, like, a stroke could cause an, like, animals know. Have weird senses
they
like
do.
That. Like,
they do.
Like, that's what a lot of medical dogs are for, is like, they have dogs for diabetes people to, like, detect when they're low blood sugar or something like that. So,
yeah,
I could kind of see where he was thinking, like, the cat was trying to save him, but biting him on the neck. I mean, it doesn't know that the neck is the most vulnerable part of a human. So,
oh, I think it does. I think it does.
I can kind of.
I see what you're saying.
Yeah, where he think that is trying to help him. So I don't really know if it was a malicious attack or a, I don't know.
Right. I have a little side note just to like diverge from the story for a second, because we're talking about animals and health conditions in people. There was a recent story on the Instagram account We Rate Dogs, which we've talked about in the past as a chaser. If you don't remember it, or if anybody needs to follow a cool Instagram account, it's an amazing Instagram account. But they were talking about that there was like a adopt a pet from a shelter day. And there was people that were meeting these dogs that were up for adoption. And this one dog went over to a gentleman and just sat by him and wouldn't leave. And then the guy's wife came over and realized he was getting ready to have a seizure, was able to get him to safety, but would not have been alerted if it hadn't been for this dog, like, refusing to leave this guy's side. And it wasn't a trained dog.
Animals have some weird, like, sense. That's kind of what makes me believe that he was trying to save Roy, I guess. But
maybe. Don't bite his throat. Just saying.
They did thousands of shows with this cat.
I know.
Not this cat particular, but with cat, big cats like that. And he had raised this cat from a cub.
Yeah,
so,
it's still a wild animal, though.
Well, not at that point. If you get it as a cub, it doesn't.
True. Semi-wild.
It is. It is a big cat, but I think you could train it as, like you could with a house cat. I mean, I've never been around a tiger, but
I'm assuming I think there's some still
fundamentals are still there.
Wild instincts are still there.
True. So after the stroke and the attack, Roy spent months in the hospital and rehab clinics, but ultimately suffered from paralysis to the left side of his body due to the stroke. And breaking his fucking neck. In 2009, Siegfried and Roy performed their final act at the Bellagio for a benefit for Lou Ruvo Brain Institute and included Manticore in the act. So they went back. Yeah, they did another act with Manticore. On March 19th, 2014, Manticore passed away at age 17 due to illness. Roy passed away at 75 years old on May 8th, 2020 due to complications with COVID-19.
Oh, gosh.
Siegfried passed away at 81 years old after it was announced he had pancreatic cancer. Items from their life were auctioned off, earning $1.4 million for their foundation, which went to the protection of endangered species.
Wow.
So, all around, I think it's a pretty good story, except for getting bit in the neck by a tiger, but
yeah, I wouldn't want that.
They live pretty good lives. I mean, they were also lovers, but I don't think that was important to the story.
No. I'm really glad to hear that they didn't put the cat down.
Yeah, Roy had a infatuation with animals, especially exotic ones like white tigers and lions and stuff. So it makes sense that he wouldn't want to put down the cat that he raised from a cub. Like,
for sure. For sure. I wouldn't want that either. Yeah. But, you know, sometimes other people take over and are like, okay, well, now it's bad, you know, kind of thing. Yeah. So I'm glad that that didn't happen.
Yeah. I think it's a pretty cool story, though. Like, all around. It is. Yeah. They came from Nazi Germany and they snuck a cheetah onto a cruise ship.
That is wild. Just wild.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm trying to find some videos of their act, but they didn't post. Like, their last performance
back in the day,
he was attacked was recorded, but it was never released to public, so.
Oh, good. I wouldn't want to see that.
Oh, dear, that's where we differ. I like my Instagram. I see so many fucked up videos online.
I like part of me goes, that would be interesting to see. But the other part of me would be like, no, I don't need to see that. I'm kind of torn.
Yeah, I have a morbid curiosity that makes me want to watch that shit.
Right.
Yeah. Let's hear about your story, Mom.
Okay. So my story is from Czechoslovakia. And I will probably mispronounce the name, but I think I've only got it in there one time. So I'm only going to destroy it one time. The person that we're talking about, her name is Olga Hepnerova. She was born June 30th, 1951 in Prague, Czechoslovakia. She was the second born child to her parents, and she had an older sister. Her father worked at a bank, and her mother was a dentist. By all accounts, Olga's early childhood was fairly average, but at some point, she started to develop some psychiatric problems. At 13 years old, she endured a lot of bullying in school, which led her to attempt suicide by overdosing on her medication. This resulted in her being placed in a psychiatric facility for about a year. Even though she was there for a year, she didn't receive any official diagnosis, which I don't know how you can keep someone there for that long without a diagnosis. No. But
diagnosis is crazy.
That's the story anyway.
When was this again?
So she was born in 51 and she was 13 happened. So 64.
That was about the time where you could just throw a woman in a mental hospital and just say she's crazy.
She's crazy. She's crazy. And it's in Czechoslovakia. So, you know, situations are a lot different in countries like that. True. Yeah. Olga attempted to escape from the facility, and she was assaulted for trying to do so. Gradually, over time, she lost contact with her family. After leaving the mental hospital, she bounced around to different jobs, never keeping one for very long and often being fired from them. Eventually, she landed on becoming a truck driver. So she was driving around trucks, which, bad omen there. Spoiler alert.
Bad omen? Oh. I was going to say, it sounds like a cool gig, but
in hindsight, maybe it would have been better if nobody taught her how to drive. Okay. We'll get there.
Okay.
Around this time, she started openly exploring her sexuality with both men and women, but this exploration didn't result in any relationships. So she was just kind of bouncing around and didn't end up with anything serious. In August of 1970, she started demonstrating troubling behavior. However, at the time, no one knew about it. She set fire to a family. Her family owned a farmhouse, and she set fire to it. Her sister and two elderly tenants were inside.
Damn.
Yeah. But nobody knew it was her for years. She set it on fire and got away. Yep, she got away. Thankfully, the fire was put out before any significant damage to the structure, and no one was injured. So everybody survived it, but they were like, that's weird, a fire. Didn't look into who did it, I guess. Like I said, her involvement wasn't known until a few years later. Basically, when she confessed to it, that was like, oh, she did it. Yikes. Over the years, Olga felt disconnected from the community and her family. She described herself as a loner. She believed that everyone hated her and she had been cast out from society. She didn't like feeling this way, and she wanted to make her feelings known, and she wanted to get some justice for it. I guess if you feel like people don't like you, then it leads you to do bad things. In 1973, Olga's feelings were increasing, and she started making plans to show the world that she had been treated poorly by society, and she was taking a stand. Exactly. Nothing good comes from plans like that. She had a few ideas.
Behavior.
Yes, kind of. Yeah. I mean, it parallels a lot of
San Diego State shooter.
That, yes, happened in current society in America. But this was back in 1973, so this is kind of early. She had a few ideas of how to make her distaste for how she'd been treated known. It included a mass shooting or a bombing, but she discarded those ideas as being too difficult for her to achieve, to get the kind of weaponry that she needed or stuff to make a bomb. Well, she couldn't figure out how to do that.
I guess it's not America. You can't go to a Walmart and buy a gun, but.
Correct. Correct.
Okay. Okay.
So she was like, I can't get a firearm. I can't get stuff to make a bomb. So we'll ditch that idea.
I don't know anything about Czechoslovakia, but. It seems like the place it'd be easy to get a gun. I've seen.
I don't know. Apparently, she didn't.
Some dash cam videos and shit, but maybe I'm wrong.
Well, I think she wanted a lot of casualties, and she probably would have needed a, you know, that's certain kind like of weaponry for that.
Russia adjacent, right?
Kind of. It's I don't know. SSR, I'm bad at geography. It's over there.
The Soviet Union.
Yeah, it's like near Germany and things like that. So it's over there in Europe. So she decided to go for a more easily obtainable item. And that was a truck. Because remember, she's a truck driver. On July 10th, 1973, she rented a medium-sized truck and then drove it onto the sidewalk in Strassmeyer Square in Prague, where a group of approximately 25 people were waiting for a tram. When she stopped the vehicle, witnesses attempted to help her, thinking that she had lost control of the vehicle, not realizing that she had done it on purpose. She quickly admitted that she had had full control of the vehicle and that she had purposefully driven into the crowd. There were three immediate fatalities. Three more people died later that day, and two more victims passed away a few days after the attack. 12 more people were injured, but survived. I should say, and survived, not but survived. We want the and survived, not, yeah. All in, there was a lot of destruction, though. 2 days after the attack, a couple of local papers received letters from Olga. It didn't say in my research for sure when she sent them, but I'm guessing that she sent them before the attack. not like she was in jail and then sent the letters, but I think she sent them before. In the letters, she explained that driving into the crowd was to get revenge on her family and the community for hating her and treating her so poorly. She also explained that if she had committed suicide, her death would have gone unnoticed, and she wanted everyone to know about how she had been treated. So,
fuck this bitch.
Yeah. Olga was arrested, and during the police interviews, she admitted to planning the attack and had stated that her intent was to kill as many people as possible. In fact, she drove by on another occasion but abandoned the plan that time because there weren't enough people waiting for the tram, in her opinion. And she wanted as many casualties as she could get. The tram station was at the bottom of a hill, which allowed her to gain speed as she drove towards the stop. As if just driving into people wasn't bad enough, she wanted to get, you know. She went through multiple psychological...
Like, UK, or not UK, European countries don't have R-size semi-trucks, but they're still big trucks.
Yeah, it was a medium truck.
What do they call them, lorries or something like that?
Yeah, I think this would have been similar to
the cab over engine.
Like a U-Haul sized, not like a big, big truck U-Haul, but like a
box
truck. A medium, yeah, a box truck. Yeah, not semi, but box trucky. She went through multiple psychological evaluations and was deemed sane and criminally responsible for the attack. Olga surprised a lot of people by then asking to be executed. She was just like, I did it. I'm guilty. You might as well just execute
me. Please kill me.
Yep.
If I was a judge, I'm not going to kill you.
Right. If you're asking for it, you're like, you want that.
That sucks. You're going to spend your life in jail.
Yeah. However, not this time. In March 1975, she died by short drop hanging. She was 23 years old.
75, she was, you said?
1975.
They were still hanging people in Czechoslovakia.
Yes, they were.
Wow.
In fact, she was one of the last people to be executed using this method. And she was the last woman executed in Czechoslovakia.
Oh, no.
So,
that's,
like I said,
I haven't,
historical relevance.
I wonder what
the 1975
hung in America is.
They're still hanging people, apparently, back in Czechoslovakia. But they don't do that anymore.
Weird death penalty things. I watched a video about people that died from shooting. Like, what's it called when you get executed by firing squad?
There you go.
So apparently one person has a blank and the rest of the people have real bullets so that go to sleep and think
knowing
I had the blank, but
yeah,
no one knows.
Knowing you weren't the one that,
Yikes. Super strange. So the last person to be executed by hanging in the U.S. was Billy Bailey, who was hung in Delaware in 1996.
What?
Oh, wow.
And that was probably not a short drop hanging. I think
I don't know what that
they
means.
Kind of figured out short drop hangings, short I drop? Believe. Well,
it
I think
designed to break your neck instead of
no.
Suffocate
that's
you?
The thing. It's not. If I'm thinking correctly and if I remember correctly in hearing about different execution methods, short drop is basically where you just strangle to death on the rope. Versus if it's a long drop, in theory, if the rope is done properly, it will snap your neck and kill you fairly quickly versus you just strangle to death. Yeah.
That gives me the heebie-jeebies.
Same. I mean, I could be wrong. If anybody out there knows about, execution stuff and wants to educate me, then let me know. But I think that's what I have heard in the past.
think I'd prefer firing squad if I had to get executed. I don't want to hang. I don't want lethal injection because I don't like needles.
I think firing
squad would be the best option. Hopefully they hit you in the head.
Well, that's the thing. Like, where are they shooting and are they a good shot? And is it quick or do you...
Like 5 to 10 people firing, I think, so...
I don't know. I don't like it. I'll just choose to not be executed.
But if you had to choose, what would you choose?
I don't know. I don't think I would want to be electrocuted.
No. Oh, God. That would be a awful one. Or burning.
Yeah.
Getting fucking torched.
Yeah.
I think firing squad I'd is rather, the best option.
I think I'd do lethal injection. Because that's supposed to be theoretically painless.
No, I think they use like nitrogen, which like causes... Maybe I'm thinking of the suicide pods in Canada.
Maybe, one of the, I don't know.
The nitrogen, like they pump nitrogen into your bloodstream so you're... Which is like a gas.
No, thank you.
I think that's what lethal injection is.
That's basically
I'm
the
pretty
bends.
Sure it's nitrogen. Yeah.
No.
I'm pretty sure that's what they use, is nitrogen.
I'm going lethal injection. Because it's a concoction of drugs that make you fall asleep and your heart stops, basically.
No, they don't. I don't. They don't give you, like, fentanyl. That'd be the best way to go, if they just pump you full of fentanyl, but... nitrogen is used in some states as an alternative method of execution. Nitrogen hypoxia. This method involves forcing the inmate to breathe pure nitrogen gas, which deprives the body of oxygen and causes death. Alternative to lethal injection. It's used in Alabama, Arkansas, Louisiana, Mississippi, and Oklahoma.
Holy shit.
Ugh, I don't. I'd prefer firing squad.
I don't. If those were my two fentanyl, options, I'd pick firing squad.
Just give me a double dose of fentanyl. Put me to sleep.
Or that. Yeah. Ugh.
I'd prefer
a pillow
over the face to that shit. What the fuck? That's
for
horrible.
For sure.
Ugh. Give me a heebie-jeebies. Like, do you have a chaser for us?
Yes, I do have a chaser. I have a baby bird update on the baby birds from the nest.
If you don't know, go and check out, what was it, 3 podcasts ago, maybe?
1, 2, 3, 4, 5 podcasts ago.
Just go look and figure out which one it is. Listen to the radio.
Yes. I talked about Marge 5 episodes ago.
Okay.
So we had, just a quick update, we had the blue jay, the Steller's jay, that built a nest in the tree in front of our house, which was visible by the front window. And she laid some eggs, the eggs hatched, and the baby birds have all left the nest. They're all gone.
Really?
They're all gone, and now the nest is empty. I know, it's quick.
Wow.
It's quick. Yeah.
Does the mom and dad come back or?
Nope. Nobody's been back in the nest. It's just empty.
No one's been back?
Nope.
That's kind of sad.
So we're going to leave it there and
see. I mean, yeah,
see,
you can't knock it down, but.
Maybe they come back next year? Maybe. It said sometimes they come back. So we'll just have to wait and see if they come back to the nest and have more babies, but we had 3. Of course, I named them because we had Marge. I named them Bart, Lisa, and Maggie to go with the rest of the Simpsons theme. So I
found out recently that those were named off of the creator's brother and sister.
Really? Oh,
yeah,
that's
his
so
name
cool.
Was Matt Groening, but he changed his name to Bart.
Really?
In the show, not in real life.
Oh, okay.
Bart was
Matt. Gotcha. Oh, yeah. Okay. How cool. Well, do you have a chaser for us?
I do. My chaser is it's a watch recommendation for a movie on Hulu, I believe, called Outbreak. It came out in 2024, and it's a zombie apocalypse type thing. This guy's a park ranger, and he gets attacked by zombies and stuff, and it has a very good twist ending.
Oh.
Like.
Okay.
Yeah. I don't want to give too much away, but it's got like I wouldn't say it's on the level of Sixth Sense, but it's got an ending that you're like, oh, shit, I didn't expect that happening. Because I was watching it and I was like, how are they going to end this? Like, are they setting it up for a second movie?
Sequel.
But the twist ties it all together. It's super good. Super. It's got it's got the guy from, I think it's called Revolt, that apocalypse movie where the power turned off.
Oh, I know what you're talking about.
I absolutely love that show.
The TV
it's got
show.
That main guy from it is the lead actor in this Outbreak movie. Billy Burke. But it's a really good watch. I enjoyed it.
Okay.
Well, I think that brings us to the end of today's episode, Mom. Thanks for listening, everybody. Go ahead and check us out on YouTube if you'd like to see video format rather than just audio. But
don't make fun of us because I did not know we were doing video today.
Give us a like and a follow. I told you over the weekend.
I know, but I thought we were talking about it theoretically, not like, oh, hey, here's the camera. Yay.
I'm still trying to decide if I want to throw pictures in. I don't think I'm going to throw pictures in on this episode. Go ahead and leave us a comment if you'd like us to, if you'd like me to put videos or, pictures on our video so you can kind of see what we're talking about. But it just takes so much longer to edit. So go ahead and let us know if that really does it for you.
If you like it or you hate it or you don't care.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right.
But thanks for listening,
everybody. Nice talking with
you,
bud. Love you.
Bye.
Bye.
Hey, friends. Thank you for supporting our podcast. Please share our show with your brutal and bizarre friends. Give us a boozy follow on your favorite podcast platform. If you're feeling extra generous, we'd appreciate a 5-star rating or review as well. But maybe do that sober so all the letters are in the right place.
You can find all our contact information in the show notes. We love hearing from you, and if you're interested in helping us stock the bar for our future boozy episodes, you can find our Patreon link in the show notes as well.